Joshua chapter 14, if you'd stand with me, I'll read verses 1 through 3. And then I'll read verse 12. If you're able, stand with me. Just out of respect for the Word of God. If you're not able, I understand, that's fine. Amen. Joshua 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them." And then look with me in verse 12. Verse 12. "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And so, a bit of a change in tone there, a bit of a boldness, amen, from "this is how we're going to lay out the land for everybody," and then all of a sudden this interruption. Caleb just sort of blurts out, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Pretty bold, amen? And I think a believer would have to know the Lord pretty well and have some confidence to be able to trust that God would give him something that he had been promised 45 years earlier when they first spied out the land. And so we're going to look at this today, and Lord willing, he'll give us some holy boldness to trust him at his word, take him at his word. We got some visitors just stepped in the back. Thank you, folks, for coming today. And if you have your Bible, we're just in Joshua chapter 14 today. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll start our sermon today. Father, we thank you now for loving us. Dear God, we thank you for giving us the eternal word of God, Lord, that we can learn from, that we can be challenged by. And thank you for this new church plant, Lord, that you've enabled us to start here in these just few weeks. And Lord, I pray for these that are sick today, Lord. We lift them up to you, especially Richard, Lord, in hospital. And we pray you just comfort him at this time and give doctors wisdom. And Lord, as we look at the Word of God, help us not to be distracted by anything else. Help us, Lord, to be in tune with the Spirit of God as he brings conviction and clarity of the Word. Lord, help me to hide myself behind the cross, Lord, that people might not see the frailty of James Mansfield, but might be there might be a demonstration of the glory and grace of God now. Lord, we love you. Thanks for loving us, giving us this opportunity to look into your word. Bless the children as they learn, as they grow in the other room. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I just want to encourage you this morning, if I could. I want to encourage you to want more in your Christian life than maybe you've been accustomed to. I want to exhort you today. I'm not going to try to trick you into thinking I'm going to tickle your ears today, because I'm not. I'm going to hold us all up to the standard of the character of a man named Caleb. A man who truly trusted God. And he trusted God even though he was in the minority. He still believed that God was able. And that's really where every Christian needs to find himself. Wholly submitted to God, trusting God despite the circumstances, always believing in our heart of hearts that he is able.
Amen.
You know, I got out some maps last night and I looked at the journey that the Israelites would have taken, maybe 2 million of them, out of Egypt and down into the Sinai Peninsula, across the Red Sea, to Mount Sinai, up to Kadesh Barnea, you know, where they would have wandered for 40 years before they finally ended up on the Jordan River and then crossed over near Jericho. And I was just trying to imagine how distraught, really, Joshua and Caleb must have been after visiting the promised land initially, after getting into the wilderness and seeing all that God potentially had for them, believing God for it, but yet sort of being dragged around by this majority group that didn't trust God and didn't believe in God the way they did. What a struggle that would have been for them. You know, you got people over here murmuring that we wish we'd stayed in Egypt. And then you've got a couple guys over here maybe murmuring, I wish you'd just trust God. I want to encourage you today to trust God for more. Why shouldn't we? We serve the King of Kings, amen? We're a child of God. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. Why can't we challenge God to keep His word and to care for His family like we care for ours? He will. I'm sure He will. We're made in His image after all. Amen? J. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, was asked by a man who was surveying the different missions around the world and wondering which one could possibly be the hardest, came up to Hudson Taylor and asked him, what is the hardest mission in the world? And without a hesitation, J. Hudson Taylor said, by far the hardest mission in the world is submission to God. You see, we've got our own ideals, we've got our own will, we've got our own intellect. God allows us to make our own choices, and oftentimes we take over that steering wheel of life and we just think we know better and we try to control the ship. But really, it's in our best interest to submit to God, to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, His leadership in our life, and to yield ourselves afresh to the Word of God as it brings clarity and as we search it anew and new truths develop out of it, and we grow and mature by responding to the light that's been given us. Caleb was submitted to the Lord. He was devoted to the Lord. In Numbers chapter 13, the spies go into the land. Interesting. And they're told to go in and find out what the land's like, because God has promised us some pretty wonderful things and we just want to know what it's like over there. And before we all go in, let's just send in 12 guys, one from every tribe. And so the 12 spies go in and they see, sure enough, wow, this land is a land flowing with milk and honey. They grab themselves a cluster of the grapes from the brook of Eshcol, and they survey the giants in the land. They see the cities, they're great and walled. And they realize, boy, this is a wonderful place, but it's going to be a challenge. They all head back, and in Numbers chapter 14, they give their report. And they're 10 of them are trying to convince the people, this is probably above us. You know, maybe if God had asked us to go in and take over a desert land, the people would just sort of run if we came in there to conquer. But it's so nice. It's a lush land. I can see these people really digging in deep and fighting for it. You can almost hear them as they try to reason out the reasons why God couldn't possibly keep His promise and allow us to go in and conquer. But there's two that believe God and say, yes, it's a wonderful land, and yes, there's giants there, and yes, the cities are great and walled, but let's not fear, let's just trust God. And they're overruled. It takes them 40 years to finally cross in when they should have crossed in probably in, you know, maybe a month's time from when they left Egypt. And they get in the land, and it takes them maybe another 5 years to conquer Jericho. And then they're at the point now in Joshua chapter 14 where they're saying, okay, we got this land over here, who should we give that to? We got this land over here, who should we give that to? We got this land over here, who should we give that to? And all of a sudden there's this, excuse me, I hope you haven't reserved the mountains to anybody because that was really promised to me. Give me, therefore, that mountain. That's some holy boldness, amen? Why can't Christians believe God for things like that? Is it absurd for us to say, I think God can build a church on this corner and we can see souls saved, we can see lives changed, we can see God use little old us in Commerce, Texas? Is that absurd? Is that too much to ask?
No.
I think God is able.
Amen.
Amen.
We serve the same God that they served back then when they did go in and conquer the land. Look at Caleb today, first of all, as we look at, if you want to fill in your bulletin, I want you to notice, first of all, that Caleb was a favored man. A favored man. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, the Bible says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he was able to go into the land." You see, the people that didn't believe God, God said, "Well, you're just going to drop in the wilderness." That's quite a way to put it, amen. Your carcasses are going to drop in the wilderness, God told Moses. But anyone that's under 20, they'll be able to go in. Except Joshua, who is older than 20, he's going to lead it. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Bible says, a Kenizzite. I find this so intriguing because when you read Numbers chapter 13 and you see the people that are one person taken from each tribe to represent that tribe and go in as a spy, you see that Joshua was picked from the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, great. That's one of the 12 tribes. Caleb was picked, the Bible says, from the tribe of Judah. That's the line and lineage of Jesus Christ. But when you read here in Joshua chapter 14, you see that his ancestry was probably outside of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Not in the lineage of the tribe of Judah. And that his daddy, Caleb's daddy, probably married into the tribe of Judah. And now he was in, and he just happened to be, you know, like one of these first or second generation Christians that hasn't been saved long enough to doubt and just believes God for his word. Now he's right up at the top, and God says, but this guy can go in. This guy who is, and God reminds us, I'll adopt others into my family. What a great truth there. Just hidden in the Word of God. That God would favor him, adopt him in, allow him to travel into the... Think of that. That's us today, is it not? Amen? You and I aren't Hebrews. You and I weren't raised in Israel. We're not from the tribe of Judah. But God favored us. But God decided, I'm going to let that person in because they believe me. Same God, Jesus Christ, yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's wonderful. J.S. Baxter said, sorry, I was getting ahead of myself there. J.S. Baxter said, what God chooses, he cleanses. What God cleanses, he molds. What God molds, he fills. What God fills, he uses. If you're saved today, and you've got the Spirit of God in you, that means you're favored. God favors you. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit than the other 10. They were favored. You and I have a different spirit than the lost world around us. We're favored. Once we get born again, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. It's like the lady that... And He's there to help us. Amen? He's there to encourage us. He's there to lift us up. Now, Joshua, or Caleb, I keep saying Joshua. Yeah, they were so alike, weren't they, in the things they did? Caleb had the spirit of boldness. He had the spirit of courage. He had the spirit of tenacity. But he had the Holy Spirit of God that was there encouraging him, helping him to believe God and trust God and step out in faith. It's like the lady that got on the airplane, and you've probably been on the flights where it's just turbulence, you know? And you start out on the just feeling sick right away. Before you know it, you're slumped down in your seat, you're leaning forward, and you're about to, you know, breakfast is coming, and you're thinking, no, I don't want any cookies, don't offer me any coffee, I'm just trying to hold on for the rest of this flight. But then a stewardess comes by, and she sort of grabs you by your slumping arm and helps you sit up in your chair and offers you a stick of chewing gum and goes and gets you some water and comes back and gives you some encouraging words, and you end up at the end of your flight better off than you were at the beginning of your flight. That's what the Holy Spirit does for a Christian. Just comes along and He exhorts us and He encourages us, and He gets us to respond in the right way.
Yes.
We're favored people. Praise the Lord. We're favored people. God doesn't just save us and leave us. Like Caleb, he had a different spirit. We have the Spirit of God. He favors us, and he entrusts some great responsibility in getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. So Caleb was a favored man, but he was also a faithful man. You say, how in the world could Caleb say, in the midst of the majority of the opposition around him, now therefore, I don't know if he said it like that, give me that mountain. How could he say that? He was full of faith, wasn't he? He just believed God. Numbers 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Hold on a second. If you ask me, I thought Caleb was like third in command almost. There's Moses, then there's Joshua, you know. There's Caleb. Here's Caleb. He stands out. He stills the people. Even in front of Moses, he stands up. Hold on a second, he says. Notice what he says. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's what we as Christians need to be like. So full of faith that we almost forget our place. You know, I just believe God. I'm sorry. Well, I don't even have to apologize. I just believe God.
Yes.
I think He will.
Yes.
Heard of a man that broke down and called the tow truck. And the tow truck came. He didn't have room in his cab, so he said, you can sit in your car. They had to go up a big hill to get into the town where the mechanic shop was. And they struggled up this big hill. Finally, they came into town, and the tow truck driver got out. Came back to the car, the man got out, and he said, "Whew, I didn't think we were going to make it up that big hill." And the guy in the car says, "Either did I. That's why I had my foot on the brakes. We didn't roll back." Isn't that what some people are like in their Christian faith? They just sort of have their foot on the brake. I don't know if we can. I don't know if we can try. I don't know if we can tithe. I don't know if we go to church all the time. I don't know if I can really make room for my Bible time, my prayer time, and get through work today. Whoa! Just slow down, you know. That's the society we live in, though. It just sort of bleeds over on us. I put a thing up on, you know, we're so politically correct in America today. I put a thing up on Facebook the other day, and it was, you know, there's this man, a picture of him. He drives into a crowd, he gets out and he starts stabbing people. But we don't want to talk about his religion. But then there's this couple over here, and they're building houses. And they're religious fanatics. Easy, careful. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to be too religious, you know. Caleb wasn't that way. Moses, do you mind? I just want to say something. We're the children of the highest. Why are we even talking about this? Let's have some common sense here. Do we believe God? Well, let's go forward. Amen. Joshua 14:8. Nevertheless, the Bible says, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Just a little bit of faith in a strong plank will get you across the stream. But a whole lot of faith in a rotten plank will get you in the stream. Caleb decided, I'm just going to put what little faith I have in the strength and power of Almighty God. And stop just trusting in myself, in my wisdom, in my tenacity. I'm just going to trust in God, that He is able. I love what D.L. Moody said. He often gets quoted for it. But D.L. Moody heard Henry Varley say, he's the actual guy that originated this quote that's in the bulletin today. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man or woman wholly committed to Him. Now, D.L. Moody heard that quote and he said, but by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And I love it that we're not defined by our old man and we're not defined by our old nature. And the Lord removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And whenever we decide to get on board, we can just get on board and we can live for God for the rest of our life. Thank God for that. D.L. Moody was thinking, boy, I haven't always, and the world hasn't always never seen somebody like that, but by the grace of God, I could try to be that man that's just full of faith and just believes God and believes the fact that, hey, I'm favored. We can do this thing. We can move forward for the Lord. So he was a favored man. He was a faithful man. I want you to notice that he was just flat out a fearless man. A fearless man. At least he didn't show any fear. Numbers 14:9 says, only rebel ye not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are, notice this, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know why he wasn't scared? I've wanted to do this since I got here. He was looking down, seeing things from heaven's viewpoint. They were looking, whoa, we're like grasshoppers. And he's like, those giants? No, they're grasshoppers. You see, it's all our perspective. How are we looking at things? It's like the other man that got on the plane that was terrified of flying, and he looked out his window and he said, whoa, look at those people down there. They look like ants. And the guy beside him laughed and said, they are ants. We haven't taken off yet. You get that one later. Why are we afraid? Let's trust God. Amen. He was a favored man. He was a faithful man. He was a fearless man. He was a following man. And boy, this is so important in your Christian life. Don't look back. Put your hand to the plow and decide I'm going to live for God. Don't look back. I know the Bible says that you're not fit for the kingdom of God. But I think what it's saying is, don't have your finger on the eject button. Don't have your hand on the escape hatch. Don't look back. Serve the Lord. Just follow Him. The Bible says in Numbers 14:24 about Him, and He has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Talking about Caleb. He's followed me fully. It says about Caleb in the Old Testament 6 times that he's wholly followed the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be said of us? That term, wholly followed the Lord, means to close the gap. It's the same idea of a hunter going after his prey and not wanting 1 inch too much to be between you. Totally just trying to close the gap. He wholly followed the Lord. With his whole heart, with his whole mind, with his whole being. No looking back. Julius Caesar, when he conquered Britain, led all his troops, his Roman legion, up the cliffs of Dover. And on the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he said, "Gentlemen, we're going to go forward and conquer. Have a look out at the sea, at the ships we just came on." And they all turned and looked and saw them all on fire out in the English Channel. And with no escape, they turned, and that's exactly what they did. They conquered England. They came under Roman rule. That's what we need to do in our Christian life. Amen? No looking back. Trust in God. Yeah, maybe we've fallen before. Maybe we've slipped before. But we're not going to dwell on those mistakes. We're going to go forward believing God can and He will use us. And we are favored. And we're just going to muster up the grit we can. We're going to be faithful. And we're going to follow the Lord. You know, kids talk about their parents. What does your dad do? What does your mom do? 3 girls were talking, and one of them said, "My daddy's a lawyer. He practices law." Another one said, "Well, my daddy, he's a doctor. He practices medicine." And that's all they do, by the way. They just practice, and then you get the result of it. Sorry. Not all the time. And then the third girl said, "My daddy's a Christian, but he doesn't practice anymore." Let it not be said of us that we don't practice anymore, that we don't wholly follow the Lord. Caleb can go in because he wholly followed the Lord. You know, that's, by the way, that's a picture of the victorious Christian life. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they wondered, can we trust God? And maybe we should go back. You know what? In fact, I sort of miss those cucumbers and leeks and garlic. Maybe we should go back. But then once they decided we're going to go, that was a picture for you and I of what it's like to trust God, go forward, and live the abundant Christian life. The victorious Christian life. Where we can just trust God by faith that He will.
Amen.
And if He doesn't, it's on Him. It's not on us, because we're doing all we can just to trust Him and obey Him. And He's obligated by His Word. He cannot lie. He'll keep it.
Amen.
Amen? And so Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. And he was a fighting man. We need more of this, don't we? No more participation trophies. You know, thanks for coming. Here's a brownie. Here's a golden trophy. You just did so well. You all are winners. Good night. That's what they're doing to these Hillary supporters that can't accept the loss. Let's give them safe zones in colleges. Let's give them coloring books. Let's mamby-pamby. That's the next generation coming up. Bunch of people that don't know how to fight. You know, there's these people that they're 18 years old and they're storming the beaches of Normandy to make sure that you and I don't speak German in 2016. Nowadays, the 18-year-olds are in safe zones because words hurt them. No, we need a bit of fight in us.
Amen.
That may be them, but that's not us. We're children of God. We're to be fearless. We're to be full of faith. We're favored of God. We should be following Him, and we should be fighting like Caleb. Look at Caleb. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb was 85 when he said that. He was old, but he was bold.
Amen.
He was saying, and this is strange, because they didn't occupy the land first. If you read this verse, you see that there's still giants there. He's talking about the mountain range. He's talking about the highland area of Israel. He's saying, yes, they're there, but if the Lord is, we'll be able to drive them out. They're still, he was old, but he's still looking for a challenge. And what's interesting was that highland area of Israel was where Hebron was. Abraham was there. That's where Abraham was buried. That's where Abraham would have built some altars. The altar, the symbol of the presence of God. And he's saying, I might have to go through some hard times when I go after that mountain range, but I'm sure I'll find God's presence there. Amen. And you and I might have to go through some hard times in our Christian life. That's fine. Let's fight. Amen? You can't have a victory unless you have a battle. Let's fight. Let's dig in and decide we're not going to let the flesh win. We're going to live like Christians. We're going to be courageous and strong. We serve the same God as they did today in 2016. We can live for Him. We can make a difference. We can take a stand. Let me finish with this today. Heard of two guys that like to go hunting. One of them was a sharpshooter. And he wasn't afraid to tell you about it. His name was Jim, and his claim to fame was he could take a raccoon out of a tree with a single shot of his .22. Well, Tom had heard just about as much as he wanted to hear from Jim. So when Tom had a chance, he took his .22 and he just changed the sight on it a little bit so it aimed a little lower than it was supposed to. So they went hunting one night, and they let the coon dogs go, and the coon dogs went, and soon enough they had a coon treed up in the tree, and here come Jim and Tom. And Jim says, stand back, I got this one. Tom's just sort of snickering in the back right now. Jim pulls out his .22, and he aims at the coon, and bang, he missed. Bang, he missed again. Sort of embarrassed, he looks, he realizes, I'm hitting the branch below. Bang! Tries again. Misses. About this time, the raccoon gets real nervous. He runs across the branch. He runs down the tree, across the ground in front of the coon dogs, up Tom's leg, and perches right on top of Tom's head. Jim turns on his heels with his .22, and he says, hold still, onion! And Tom yells out, aim higher! Aim higher! You know, we as Christians, we can learn a lot from that. We just got our sights set too low sometimes. We need to aim higher. Believe that God can. There's a majority, even in the Christian circles, that are just going through the motions. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to seem like a fanatic. I don't want people to call me a Bible thumper or a Jesus freak. I'm just going to maintain a low profile so as not to give Jesus a bad name. Caleb didn't live that way. He was a fighter to the end. Believing God. Oh, he didn't do it in a cantankerous way. He did it in a loving, firm way. You know that verse? As for me and my house, serve the Lord. You see, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's how God's people need to act. Aim higher. Trust God for it. Can He? He can. He can this morning. Whatever it is you're going through this morning, God can. You know, we're all going through a hard time. That's why we need to be kind to each other. Pray for each other. There's a bunch of people out today for different reasons, struggling. Richard's still in hospital. His address is on that back table. Let's encourage one another. Let's bless one another. We're going into a wonderful time of year where we have a great opportunity to reach out and act like real Christians, believing God can, and He will. Let's live it. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, I'm not even sure I'm favored. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know you said that Caleb had another spirit, but I'm not sure I have the Holy Spirit.